Richard X, welcome to X.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, can I mention the B word? Or
yeah, no, you feel free.
I mean, feel free. We have to mention the B word. Mm. First, can we give ourselves a little pat on the back? First, to radio station to play Sugar Babe.
Yeah, no, I thank you for your support on that.
Yeah, and it finally gets to number one. But I mean, let's just get the bootlegging out of the way. Your opinions on it, your kind of the whole take on it, and then just we won't talk about it.
I'd answer that question with another question. Which way do you think it's going at the moment? What do you find most exciting about it? Because I think that's the key to it. It's always what excites you musically. And that at the end of the...
Turn the question on to me, definitely. I don't mind being interviewed. No, I like... Look, the two things for me, I think bootlegging was just basically an evolution of sampling. I mean, I always, don't know, it jumped into my head. Puff Daddy doing, you know, whatever, the being around the world and all that. Bootlegging, or it's not even the right word, mashup. It was a extended form of sampling.
Yeah.
So people were just taking longer chunks. You're exciting me. People basically, you know, major labels who are doing it right, who are saying, as I've always said in a lot of interviews, I think, you know, the bootleggers like yourselves are being creative, and it was a way of showing your talent as a producer.
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, there's a lot of... I think a lot of people who've been doing it have come from a different angle. I think mine was possibly a bit more pretentious and a bit more art-based than other people. But that's not to say my approach was better. I think I've kind of moved on quite obviously. You know, maybe my profile's a bit more than other people's. But other people are doing, you know, illicit remixes or starting to do sort of crazy cover versions, which I see as like an offspring of the bootlegging scene. It's the same in spirit. It's about using and reusing and juxtaposition. It's very modern, a very modern way of making music. And the more exciting people in the scene, if you like, I mean, there is still a sort of people clinging around a certain internet site. That is the scene. And, you know, there's a lot of good people there who have pushed the envelope and
definitely,
as a result, are doing something different. And those sort of things are filtering out elsewhere. I mean, I've spoken out on bootlegging a lot because I've been seen as a bit of a spokesman because I wasn't there very early on.
Yeah,
I wasn't. You
also say arty, which I like, because it's true. You know, from those early Girls on Top 7 inches, you were collaging. The artwork was, you know, you weren't just doing it for the music. The, you know, slapping Whitney's head on top of a Kraftwerk robot, brilliant.
There was a lot of stuff that went into it in terms of what I was thinking and what I wanted to get across. And it was, to be honest, the illicit aspects was never, you know, never that high up for me. I mean, it was more of a worry than a buzz to start with when you're dealing with these things. And, you know, it's well known that major labels don't really like having their artists used and abused like that. But I think that's one aspect you don't really need in bootlegging. If you're doing good stuff, you don't need it to be a constant, you know, fight against the lawyers.
Yeah.
And my main thing about bootlegging has just been the ones where it becomes an autopilot thing, where people are just mixing X with Y for no good reason other than that's how they always approach making a bootleg. And I just think it lacks that extra dimension to make it exciting. So we're kind of like post-bootleg society now, aren't
Definitely.
We? So
well, let's play two. I mean, you're certainly, you know, undeniably, I'd say in chart terms, the most successful of them. I mean, let's play a little bit of a number one record and a number three record.
Let me lay it on the line. I've got a little freaking mess inside. And you know that a man is careful with it. I don't care what they say. I'm not about to pay nobody's way. Cause it's all about the dog in me. I'm on a freak in the morning, a freak in the evening. Satisfy me, just for me. If you are the kind of man, 'cause I'm the kind of girl. I got a freaky secret everybody say, 'cause we don't give a damn about a thing. 'Cause I'll be a freak until the day, until the dawn. And we can walk all through the night to the early morn. Come on and I'll take you around the hood on against the wind. We can do anything.
had a listen to the album. Definitely. Wicked album.
Yes, thank you.
Certainly an overall sound for me is the 80s electronic synthy style, your Human League-y sort of style to that. Is that a fair...
I suppose it is fair. I mean, it's. I wouldn't say it's an 80s album. I consider it a modern sort of album.
But, it's a modern, but certainly there's that lovely 80s electronic sound to it.
Yeah, there's, I think possibly given my my youth, that's. I mean, it's all very, I suppose, retrospective in a way, but it's personal, so it has to come from my 80s youth, my 80s life. But it's kind of like, it's funny talking about the 80s now, because we all know, all us people, trendy people, know that the 80s was so last year, so I'm a little bit wary, and I've actually selected 1986 as my nominated 80s year, because I don't think anyone's touched the fashions and styles and music from that, so the stuff I'm doing now, working on now, will be very 1986.
Pet Shop Boys.
Post Bobby O. You know, that's
wicked. Yeah, is he still alive, by the way, Bobby O? I want to track him down.
I don't know. I was just reading something about
in Sleaze. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, it's you. We're talking about you. We want to play anyway. Before we play some stuff off the album. Yes. A couple of remixes.
Yes.
Of yours, which I think we should have little snippets of. TLC.
Yes.
Which was very good. Hands Up. And Louis Austin featuring Peaches.
Grab My Shaft.
Had a couple of Richard X remixes. What about people remixing Richard X? Don't seem too much of that.
No, well, it's funny. I suppose it goes in hand in hand with my way of how I think my records are pop records. I love B-sides. I love kind of like on the Liberty X thing, I did all the mixes myself, because it's kind of, there was one mix on there that was my sort of homage to Frankie Goes to Hollywood with a sort of instrumental,
the intros, but with all the
you know, their vocals cut up, and they were, you know, very wary about doing that. But to me, that's what I used to love and still love about records, is I mean given that I do remixes, it might seem a bit hypocritical, but I just think there's something quite sweet about a record being more of a whole with another track or something like that. So that's why, and you know, it's frustrating for Virgin, I suppose, because I just have no interest in people remixing my stuff, and there's not, you know, there's a lot of people I admire production wise but when it comes to my records, I just can't get excited about it.
But good on you, anyway. I think there was too much of that splurging, you know. I get, you know, I don't want to name names, I nearly did, but you know, you get those triple pack, double packs, more remixes, mixed four times. Sometimes the original and a little instrumental is enough.
Yeah,
even though we're on the show here, the remix, it's enough sometimes just to have that record.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's you know, sometimes, like, for example, the TLC thing, as a fan of TLC, I would love to have heard them going mad in the studio doing just like a knock around experimental jam and stuff, and that's what I'd like to hear as well. So I think, you know, hopefully on you know, my stuff, I try and give a little bit of that. The new one that's coming out, the thing I've done with Khalees, we've got the bonus track is called Music for an Imaginary Mobile Phone Commercial.
Wicked.
So it's my tribute to Eno. Yeah. And you know, some people might be interested. I'd be interested.
Well, listen, let's talk about the album. I mean, some awesome hookups on there. You know, the likes of Tiga, Jarvis Cocker, Liberty X, Play, Khalees. And two got me, Javeen and Annie. Didn't know much about them.
Yeah, Javeen is, I mean, I must say, these are all close celebrity friends of mine. You know, I do move in these circles now, so it's not just an arbitrary pick these names out of a hat type producer help.
Did a lot of them come to you, or were you choosing them?
No, I must admit, I've gone out and hunted for them. People. I mean, as is my way, I wouldn't mention any names, but you know, there's a few people doing collaborative albums, and I think I'm the antithesis of that. I'm the pop uncle, if you like. I did mention a name. Yes. Javeen was, I think she was on the Pop Rivals.
Oh, okay.
The Pop Rivals was the one that I think went on to make Girls Aloud.
And she was the one who didn't get in.
So I'm immediately attracted to people who have this sort of...
The underdogs.
Yeah, well, that kind of slightly damaged thing. And the people who've sort of been pulled through the combine harvester of pop dreams. I absolutely love that sort of stuff. I mean, and she's great, and you know, I'll do all that normal sort of simpering about how the quality of my collaborators, but she was really good, and that's one of my favourite tracks on the album. Not that you'd probably play it, but
if I'm allowed, we'll play a bit of that.
Yeah, but you know, we've done that's kind of another side of the 80s musically. She's doing her own thing. In fact, she's just got one of those Stargate produced pop singles out at the moment called Real Things, which is some people like.
Okay, well, look, let's get back to you. We want to play some of your stuff. Let's have a little bit. If we are allowed, I'm sure we will be. Here's some Rock Jacket off the forthcoming Richard X album. We've been talking about people on the album. What did anything happen? Because I read quite a bit on Puff Daddy. You doing stuff?
Yeah,
with him?
That's kind of outside the scope of this album. This is more for his thing, as you've probably read.
Okay.
Does his house or electronic album, depending on what you read, and coming at some point. I mean, there's one single out coming out.
Let's Get Ill or whatever.
Which I was involved with on its original stages, but you know, by the time half of America have got their hands in it, then it changes into something else. But yeah, there's a couple of things we did when we were over in Ibiza, which I think we'll hopefully finish in the next, you know, month or so, and get that on his album.
Okay, but back on your album, so people, as we mentioned, you know, Tiga and Jarvis Cocker, what were kind of interesting to work with? How did you work with these guys? How did it all work?
I sort of met these people from, you know, they kind of move in similar circles, I suppose, musically. They're people who make, I'd make pop records, you see, and they also do, but they've got a bit of a twist. They haven't just done something, you know, bog standard. So I think that you know, I was surprised to find, or pleased to find rather, that they were like-minded people. So it's quite easy to work with them. You know, the thing I've done with Jarvis is kind of like an extension of the sort of bootlegging juxtaposition idea, taking sort of perverse elements. I mean, there's a bit of Mazzy Star sampled in there. There's, you know, an R&B beat programmed in waltz time, which is, you know, maybe deliberately obtuse. But and then you've got Jarvis over it. So it's an interesting, you know, that's a very different side of the kind of the ideas that are coming out of the album.
And without getting too technical on your setup, are you very basic, or is this...
Yeah, I'm a very basic boy. Yeah, no, it's always, you know, maybe my production values have increased because I love. You know,
no, they sound rich. I just, you know, you hear these people who, you know, are you bedroom style?
I could be bedroom style. Yeah, I'm sort of in between, sort of, you know, Mark Knopfler and bedroom style. So,
all right, want to talk quickly about your label, Black Melody?
Oh yes, yeah, yeah.
So what's going on with that?
Well, it's one of, I wouldn't say a vanity label because it does actually exist. I mean, we put out the first Girls on Top things, and then
I'm going to play something from
the Golden Hour of the Future, which is, I mean, my love of the Human League is well documented, and through doing what I've done, I got to meet them, and we put out an album of their late 70s stuff, which has been, you know, really exciting to go through their vaults. But, you know, the label will rise again. I mean, I've met some strange people on my travels who all seem to be quite happy to put some records out. So it will, you know, when I've stopped being a pop star, maybe that'll kick back in again.
Well, let's play something off that album, The Golden Hour of the Future. It is a bizarre cover version of Reach Out, I'll Be There. Go and play a little bit more off your album. What's your sort of vibe on the whole way technology seems to be controlling music, you know, with things like Apple's iTunes, and how do you feel about the way, as I say, technology is almost controlling the music business in many ways?
Yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, there's a lot of worried people in terms of, you know, the sort of piracy aspect of it. I mean, I think it's going to...
Would you be happy being 99 cents a track?
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me. I think it's, for the artist, it's always that thing of it has to be controlled, you know, properly. This is definitely a different issue from bootlegging and you know, the sampling thing. This is about how the music gets... You know, it's so accessible. Anyone who's got a broadband internet, you know, connection at the moment knows how easy and fast it is to get whatever music you want. And, you know, if record companies don't compete with that, then they're going to be left behind. I mean, there'll always be people of my generation and younger who want something physical when you know, they want more about the band, they want the artwork, and that's, you know, whether it's on CD or old-fashioned vinyl, you know, that's the bit that probably has to be addressed.
And what are your views on sort of sampling? Let's say someone were to sample you. Do you think that permission thing is important? Or would you be flattered if you heard your stuff?
I don't know which bits they'd sample of mine, because most bits are from some other people anyway. But, you know, there's some things that have got maybe a bit more of me. And, of course, yeah, I mean, I'd take the same view as a lot of the artists who you know, turn around and smiled at me for doing it. I mean, if it's done well, it's great. I mean, there's been, you know, I'm an obvious target for bootlegging it, especially amongst the community. And there was a couple of the Being Nobody, which you know, there's one particularly good one I think you played on.
Sound was good.
So it's kind of...
That's a good attitude.
I'm up for that, but it's, you know, it takes just that little spark to make something new out of these things. And if it isn't there, then... I mean, I got sent a couple of things, I must admit, that were, you know, just like my records sped up. And I can't really see the merit in that myself, but I'm open-minded, so... You know, I always wanted someone to completely destroy one of my records, and that'd be more exciting.
Okay, well, that's about it. I mean, we're going to play You, Better Let Me Love You, times 4. Anything else that, you know, needs to be mentioned? Plugged?
I don't know.
Gigs, live? What about the live thing?
Well, this is one thing I don't really do. I mean, yeah. I do DJ occasionally, but it's more, there's been a lot of confusion because I don't really do... play the bootleg thing. And of course, everyone, because my name is Bootlegs, I normally clear dance floors, to be honest, and I'm quite happy doing that, and some places want me to do that perversely, so I do the occasional thing with friends or, you know, in local pubs and that, but certain big venues probably you won't be seeing me there. And apart from my, you know, my live tour, I've got absolutely no idea how that's going to come about. I don't think anyone really wants to see me strumming a guitar pretending to be Tiger, do they?
That'd be good. Yeah. Oh, we don't mind.
Yeah, good. Well, it could happen. I'll have a word with Virgin about it.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, Richard. Best of luck with it all. And let's end with a little bit of You Better Let Me Love You times four.
You don't forget the brackets. Okay. Tonight.
You better let me love you tonight. cutting edge dance music. The Rinse.